You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Zena Wild, and we talk about career change. But I want to share with you that this is a story that is like it was written for a TV show. It's got ups, it's got downs. Okay, I'm being cute. Zena worked hard for her dream of being an actress, and her hard work paid off, you guys. And then a lot of things came together so that that dream job was no longer working the way it had. It was no longer the perfect thing. Zena had to shift. And oh my goodness, did she make a big shift. This is a conversation that I think might inspire you, that even when sometimes if we find ourselves in a spot where things feel like they're going totally wrong in what feels like every single way, that inspiration, joy, and adventure might be right around the corner. So also, you guys, Zena is a trooper, and I was actually trying a brand new tool for the first time in this recording. So if you happen to be watching this and thinking to yourself, oh, wow, this looks a little different, that is not your imagination. I think it all worked out okay. I'll find out in the editing room. Okay, let's do it. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Zena Wild, are you ready for a fun chat today?
I am so ready. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, yay. All right. So I have my two warm-up questions. I ask everybody that I talk to, what part of the world do you call home?
Oh, good question. Because that's a tricky one for me. I guess I have many homes. I call New York my home. I call Los Angeles my home. I call Greece my home. But more important, and this might sound cheesy, but I call this my home because that's what comes with me at all times. So, yeah.
All right. So very good. So where are you now? Because that's I'm going to ask my next question. So where are you now?
So I'm in Los Angeles.
You're in Los Angeles.
Tell, it's very sunny.
Very sunny. Tell me something. Tell us something that you enjoy or you love about Los Angeles. It's one of my favorite cities. So.
Oh, good. Well, it's interesting. I love some people, when I say this, they're like, what? Are you sure you're talking about Los Angeles? And I'm like, yep. I love that I actually feel like I have a lot of time in Los Angeles. I feel like the pace is so much slower than what I was used to in New York. I feel like it's just a place where, I mean, the weather really helps. It's like it feels like you're getting a lot of energy from the sun. So I mean, obviously everybody says that about LA, but for me, it's really the time and the luxury of doing the things that I love to do. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I would put that under the category of the West Coast vibe, which is, you know, it's very, you definitely feel it when you go from East to West for sure. All right. So, Zena, we're going to talk about something super fun today. In over 200 interviews, you are on a very short list of two guests where my pre-interview research has included looking people up on IMDb. So we are going to talk about you stepping away from your dream job, and your dream job happened to be being an actress on a TV show. So are you ready to talk about that?
Sure. Absolutely. Well,
I'll lead you through it. I'll lead you through it so you don't have to run with it quite yet.
Okay, cool.
Right. How old were you when you decided that you wanted to be a professional actress?
Oh, I was young because I want to say I was definitely 17 because I went to, for my undergrad, I went to NYU to study acting. So I already knew back then. It's just that it started more in theater. So I was in New York, so I did a lot of theater first, and then it crossed over to film and TV.
That is fantastic. So I have a question about your dream, and this actually might be a silly question. In every conversation, I throw in one question that I'm really not sure if it's a good question. So I'm curious, though. You're in your pitch, you said that the dream was to be a TV actress. And my question was, I was curious because I don't know anything about this industry. Is this a kind of thing that you can choose as an actress? Like you can say, I'm just going to go for TV and I'm not going to look for film roles. I mean, if somebody had handed you like a film had said, hey, come do this feature movie, would you have taken it? Or were you like set specifically on film, on TV?
Oh, I definitely would have taken it. That's okay. For sure. And I mean, film and TV is kind of similar in a way. I mean, it's kind of like the same. It's becoming more the same world, but to answer the first part of your question, you can definitely focus yourself in that way. So yes, there are kind of two different worlds. So the theater world and the film and TV world are quite separate. They tend to blend in as you go and do more of, let's say you do a show that becomes a huge success, a theater show, then it's more possible that you can cross over to film and TV. Whereas from film and TV to cross over to theater, it's more tricky, actually. It's unless you're like a huge star, it's more difficult because it's a different skill set. It's almost like saying a different language. So it's even though think about it like you, it's like gradations of the same thing. One is like at 100, one is like, you know, you're acting like here or you're acting with your full body. So it's different skills, both difficult, both wonderful, but different skills.
I had not. Yes, it's not my industry. So when I think of it as an outsider, yeah, Broadway seems like a totally different beast.
Yeah,
especially now that everybody, I watch movies and television on my phone and on my laptop, I can see that it is blending. But I was super curious about that. All right, so you mentioned the grade. So many people dream of being professional actresses and actors. Yes. It is a highly competitive and selective career.
Yes.
That
yes.
is the understatement. I'm laughing because that is like such a massive understatement. You have a lot of credits that showed up when I looked you up, but you were on the show Billions for several years. That was a consistent gig. No, that was a few years ago, not a long time ago, but a few years ago. I was wondering if you could tell us how it felt when you got the news that you got that repeating role and that was what you had been working towards.
Well, a few things. First, I will say that I didn't particularly choose to leave the show. I was on the show till the very end. I loved being on that show. It was the best experience of my life. It changed my life forever. It was truly a dream come true. So, but I'll get into what was the choice of me making a different choice for my career afterwards. But I still act. I still do it. It is something that I've done my whole life. So I don't think I will ever not do it, to be honest.
But wait, so I think you jumped forward though. Take me back to the beginning when you found out you're going to the...
Yes.
I interrupted you. Sorry, because I want to know... Yeah, before we talk about the end, I want to talk about the beginning.
No, for sure. I will tell you.
All right.
So for me, it was a couple of things. So first, being on TV and film was complicated because I was not a citizen. I was not a resident at the time. I had a green card. I had not even a green card. I had an artist visa. So after school, because I'm not American, I after school, I was allowed to get a year of a visa that I could work towards things and then decide what I wanted to do. So I the way to
and
do
that
it
was student visa.
That was the student visa. So after your student years, you get 1 year that it's called the practical training. So you get to do this and you get to pretty much work only on your field. So I could only act. I couldn't do anything else to make money. And that's what you get from the government. So within that year, you have to decide, do you want to stay or do you want to go? But in order to decide that, you also have to prove afterwards, you have to apply for new paperwork that says, okay, great, you have the credentials to stay. So the credentials were like this visa that you had to take that was called an outstanding artist, an artist of outstanding abilities was the name of the visa. So you have to pretty much prove that you are better than anybody else in the country to do this job. So it's like a ridiculous requirement. But I remember at the time that my lawyer was like, okay, the way to do this is you need to be on everything that you could possibly be, whether it's voluntary or not. Like, you know, even if you don't get paid, get clippings, writings, this and that. And that way you can get your visa. So I decided to do that. I was in 1 year. I did 22 theater productions. Wow. I will never forget it. So anyway, I got my visa. But funny enough, after I got that visa, I was like, great, I'm ready to go TV, film, do everything. I was such a young kid and naive. I didn't know anything. And then they're like, oh, well, you know, you can't be on TV unless you have a green card or you're a citizen. So I was like, wait, what?
Wow.
I didn't know that part. So I ended up having to continue this process because they pretty much call the green card or citizenship like the O-1 on steroids is the way that they call it. So I had to repeat this.
I had no idea.
Oh, there it's very complicated. So for me, like the film and TV career started later because there was this huge gap that I couldn't work on film and TV. Like I wasn't allowed to. So first it was theater stuff. I loved also the theater. I learned so much. I was so committed to it. It was an amazing experience. And then afterwards, after I got, I mean, there's a whole other immigration story that I won't bore you with it, but it's pretty fascinating. Then I got my green card. And then right after I got my green card, I think the first month I booked my first gig, which was The Blacklist. Then
I watched The Blacklist, yeah. So I probably saw that. I did see that on your list of credits and I was like, okay,
yeah,
I bet you I saw her.
Probably. I mean, it was season one. And then I did the series Madoff, where I played Richard Dreyfuss's secretary for the whole miniseries. And then afterwards, my friend, who's a casting director, she was so lovely. And she's like, you know, we're looking for someone to play a secretary on Billions. And do you want to come in an audition? And I was like, of course I do. That sounds amazing. So then I did. And I auditioned for the first secretary originally. And I got a call back, I remember. And I went in and I was in the room with everybody. And I wanted it so badly. And I remember that I didn't get it. So then I was kind of crushed. And I was like, well... But something about it, I was like, I kind of remember envisioning it for about another month or so. So I was like, it was still inside of me and I was like still picturing it. And then I get a call about a month later and they're like, you know, they've added another secretary and they want you to play this role. Would you want to come in and do it? And I was like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. But at the time, I had no idea if that was going to be one episode or the rest of the show, which is what happened. I didn't know anything. Like even up until season four, I was still nervous, which, I mean, that's a lot of seasons, a lot of time. But I was still nervous that I was like, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe this week they won't call me back. I don't know. But it was kind of amazing. It was the best experience ever. It was great.
Well, that is the thing, because it is such an interesting industry and such an interesting job. Like anything in the performance and creative industries is so hit or miss. Like, is the funding going to be there? Is the show going to get picked up? All the way down to people who are freelance writers for magazines and, you know, people who are working on commercials. And so that was sort of where that question was rooted, because now you can look back and say, I had these years on this show,
yeah,
but I was wondering whether or not, never having been in that spot myself, whether or not in the middle of it, whether or not it feels secure and it feels like you're going to make it, or whether or not you are kind of always wondering, how long will I have this role and when is this going to disappear?
I think that was the biggest lesson for me to understand that there is no real safety anywhere, in any job, wherever they tell you that there is. Everything always changes. Like, we change from morning to night. Like, we change, our cells change, everything changes. It's the same. It's a live organism. And there is no safety, no, in whatever job I choose. So for me, that was the place where I learned it. And I practiced this feeling of, okay, there is no security, but it's not about the security, that this is not what I'm here for. This is not the point. The point is to be present and to do the best thing I can, to the best job that I can every day that I show up. So that was my goal. And it really was a tremendous experience for growth for me, for everywhere as a human being, like understanding that. Because when I was younger, I had a lot of that, of like, I need to do this to prove, I need to, so that people recognize me, so that people understand, so that I prove everything. And it just doesn't work like that. And even if it does, it's a miserable way to live. So I don't subscribe to that. And I didn't even back then. I remember that I had adopted this way of being, of like, I'm just happy to be here, and like real gratitude, because also understanding, it's all relative too, because the struggle of things that could be considered granted for, like, you could take for granted for some people. For me, the fact that I had to work so hard to get the basics, my paperwork was... Yeah. It was a different thing. So it was easy to go there and not be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, are you going to take me back? You know, and if I was like that, they would be like, get her out of here. Rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you meant it is a part of your story, which is not the interview, but you did go through the immigration process, which is in the news. Like, we're recording this in February 2026. And it's a really interesting thing. I have not gone through the process of moving and emigrating to another country. So the longest thing I've ever done is a school visa for a year. Mm-hmm. But I live in Miami, where you're surrounded by people going through the process. And it's so interesting because there are so many people. You just touched on it in the highlight. There are so many people who, good for them, have never had the experience and have never had it touch them to know how long it takes, because it is a complicated process. And it depends on where you start. It depends on where you start. So, and so, yeah, you really, really hustled, which I think
I did.
And I think that performing and acting, TV, theater, that is a profession that is known for people who are having to hustle. You know, you really, there's so many people who want to do it. So many people with huge amounts of talent, and so few really, really home run type opportunities. So all of that is setting this up, right? Because this is the dream. You worked hard for years and years and years to do this. So, and at some point you come to the conclusion, and maybe it's because the show ends, but that the career you wanted was not the career you needed, is the way you phrased it. And it also looked to me like this might have happened, if the timing is right, maybe around the pandemic. Is this all happening around that? Okay. Yeah. So I wasn't sure, but it's interesting how many people's transition stories 6 years after lockdown still tie back to that. I find that just a thing. So help us understand what was going on in your mind when you were making this decision. Like, even though this was the dream, and even though I really hit something that so many people want, it's not actually the thing that serves me best.
Well, one of the things was that, because of what you were saying, during the pandemic, and I was in New York at the time, and New York was really hit hard. I got sick with a first strain, and I was alone in this apartment, in a tiny apartment in New York City, and it was just not a great time. It was rough. So I remember that eventually, and the show had stopped, of course. So like, it was like we went from this incredible playground where everybody's together all the time and we do the thing that we love and we have a good time to just being like, and now you go and be on your own and
by yourself,
be in your corner. And I remember that eventually the show had stopped. So my brain also in general I have an active brain. So I was like, okay, well, I gotta start thinking of what am I gonna do, because I don't know how long this is gonna last. I don't know when.
2 weeks.
I don't know.
It was only gonna last two weeks. Remember?
Originally, they were like 2 weeks. Yeah, totally, 2 weeks. Sure. And at the time, I remember I was like, when I think it was June hit, I was like, I am gonna. We're still not back, of course, at work. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to LA. I'm gonna try and go to LA just because it's another place where the industry is obviously flourishing. It's here, or it was. I was like, okay, I'm gonna try it. If nothing else, at least I will have this experience while the world has stopped, and to just see I can't be spending the rest of my life in these four walls. Like I just can't do it anymore. So it's like, at least I'll be in nature, at least I'll be outside, and maybe in a bigger space, and go from there. I mean, I still had my place in New York. I was just trying it out. So it started like that. I mean, soon enough we went back to work, but the thought had started in me already. And then when we went back to work, we finished that season. Then we had another little break until the next season. And then I remember that was when things got dark for me. Like, it was like, again, it's like a stop and start. And I felt like I didn't have something that I could put my energy into. I didn't have something that I could focus on. And it hit me hard, and I was like, okay, I tried everything. I did all the wellness things and nothing was really working. And then I remember I was like, I think I need to go back home to recalibrate.
And where is home at that point?
Home is in Greece.
In Greece. Back, okay.
Just where I go. I mean, my family's still back there and I spend all my summers there. Like I literally have all my friends are still there. And so I remember being like, I got to go back and just kind of connect with the water. I felt this need to be close to the water and to be in those specific waters. And I remember going in at that time, and it was even off season. And I was like, I felt something in my body change. And I was like, oh my God, I feel relaxed for the first time in maybe 2 years. And it was almost like the depression was like leaving my body, like effervescently. It was like that. So I remember having the thought that I was like, this can't be I can't be the only person feeling this. I can't be. So I just, in that moment, this birthing happened of this idea of like, I want to share this with people. I want other people that have struggled to come here and experience this with me. This is a place in Greece that most people don't know. So it's a bit of a secret location. So I wanted to give them this local experience. And one of the reasons why I also love acting so much is community. So I was like, I wanted to create community, and I wanted it to be on my time schedule. So I therefore created this company. So, yeah.
I love the so many things that you said in there. First of all, when you described working on the show and you describe it as a playground where you were doing the thing that you loved, it just sounds like such a wonderful space to be in. It really shows through. And I mean, I think that, you know, in so many places, people talk about collaboration and working with people. And one of the things I've really thought a lot about this past year is that there is a difference between, like, you and I just are talking this for the very first time today. But for those really true creative collaborations where you do something special, it makes such a difference when you have an actual connection with people and you're having a good time. Like those are that's when you really can sometimes do some amazing things. And I'm not like, you know, that. So now it makes sense a little bit, because initially when I was reading about the shift from being an actress on a TV show to a travel company, I just had this inkling that there was something else that was from the past. Like maybe it was like, you know, travel as a kid or what. But this is you going, it's actually you taking people back to someplace that was special for you is what.
That's how it started. But truly, it's kind of what you were just saying. The whole idea for me in general is connection, is to connect with other people. And I think that that was the COVID part that I've started realizing that everything was becoming online. Yeah. And I wanted it to be like, what about creating this place that was an adult summer camp? So that's what I wanted to make. And that's what I eventually made, that it's a place where it's thematic retreats that they go all over the world. But the idea is to connect with each other, connect with yourself, and see different places in the world. And I was realizing that people were either not traveling because they were alone, they didn't have partners, they were too scared to do it, they didn't have money, it was too overwhelming for them, all these factors. So I took all these factors together and I was like, I want to create this summer camp, the thing that we had, this connection that we had with my cast members also, like that to do that and to go through an experience, because I feel like what we were lacking in that point, and still, and I think it's getting worse, is experience, like a real experience, not just to show to someone or to do something that's a means to an end or a stepping stone for something else, but just for the sake of doing it, because it's
true shared experience.
There was
a book I read a million years ago. My mom gave it to me, and I spend a lot of time in, like many people, I have a complicated relationship with my mom, and I spent a lot of time avoiding reading this book. But then I did finally read it, and the theme of the book was, it was actually about an aid worker who was working on a nonprofit. He was trying to build schools in some country, but he was an American. He just went charging in. And the theme of the book is that he learned from the locals that he couldn't ask them to like jump in and do things until he had sat down and had I think 3 cups of tea. Like, so the custom of like actually having these 3 encounters over tea with locals was needed before we proceeded. And it really is, it's an interesting thing, because there's a different, not that that's the thing, but there's a difference when we do something together. We travel together, we, you know, knit a scarf together, we create a show, versus just having a conversation. I think it's a different level of connection. Yeah. So I do have a question. Okay, so. The question, so I once knew a professional athlete that, like, professional long course athlete, and then he retired because he aged out, because you can't do it forever, right? And he became a realtor, but he kept his email address. And so I had been on his email list getting these notices, I'm going to race over here, I won this race, blah, blah, blah. And then he became a realtor, and the emails just became open house on Saturday, come see my townhouse, right? You know, I think I still get them actually. But so the question is, what did people think when you said, when you began to announce these retreats, did you tell people, you were like, okay, I'm not going to do as much acting for at least a little while or forever? And how did people respond when you said, I'm going to host these retreats?
Honestly, most people think I'm crazy all the time. So they just thought that I was crazy one more time. It wasn't anything new. They're like, you're going to do what now? And everyone was like, who's going to come? Are you crazy? That's not going to work. La, 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 this and that. But it's like, that's my whole, honestly, sometimes that's my fuel. When people doubt me, it's fuel. And they did. I was doubted by everybody, from the people that I grew up with to the people that I, my family to, but yeah, it was like, it's okay. That's the part that it's a little bit, that's the good and the bad news. The good news is that I get myself out of it every time. The bad news is that I get myself out of it every time. but it's something that also, it's like this part of like this hyper independence is, I'm learning that is something that this is what I'm working on, that this hyper independence is not necessarily great.
But sometimes it can be, right? Like sometimes it's the thing that is like, oh, well, I don't know anybody who's going to hike the Grand Canyon, so I'll just go. And then you get to do it, right? Or I'm going to, you know, nobody, you know, hyper independence, probably you needed that to go to auditions because, and to have the, you know, at some point you had to step out by yourself. You didn't get to take your friends with you. But yeah, that is the thing. People do tell us that the hyper independence, you know, it's okay to ask for help. And I think many of us are working on it all the time. So, okay. So this is a good segue because at some point you mentioned the dark space and that you were working on this. You have this wonderful experience, restorative on a personal level, connecting with the open, I guess it's open sea in Greece, which just makes me want to sign up right away for the retreat because it's on my list of places to go. At some point you connect this with somatic work. And so I was wondering if this was something that you had been working on with yourself, or that you discovered as a part of putting together the retreats?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, I also have a dance background, so that I was always interested in movement.
Because performers are never just one thing. It's like everybody sings and dances and acts, and it's just amazing that it's like all the talent is concentrated in all the same people.
I am a terrible singer. I will say, I shouldn't say I'm terrible, but I'm not a singer. I should say that. But yeah, I will say that movement was always part of my life. I've always loved it. I mean, ever since I can remember, I work out a lot. I go to Pilates every day. I do somatic work. I do this. And part of the thing of like what I was trying to do to get myself out of that depression was a lot of it was like everyone was pretty much saying that you can't do talk therapy anymore. It's kind of what everyone was telling me, that it's not gonna, it's done. You did it, you get it, but now you got to get it in your system, in your body. So like in order to bring change, you have to get it in your mind, body, and spirit, sort of a thing. So like, it's like, so I, that's when I started getting really into it. And I did see that there was a difference. There was like, it was a whole other world that I got super interested in between the Peter Levine work and like all these somatics that, breath work, all kinds of stuff that I started finding more and more, and especially Los Angeles is a great place for that stuff as well.
It is like the mecca of all the new things.
So it was really good to do it and combine my feelings as a human being, as an actor, as a dancer, as putting these somatics together and creating my own version of it. And that's when this happened. And also this idea of like the connecting to nature, because how I find that for me, I get into problems. I get in when I'm shutting that out. It's almost like I take it so much for granted, and that's where the answers are. So yeah, it was a combination of all these things. And then when that happened in the water with that experience, I felt like something changed and I couldn't reverse it. So I didn't want to reverse it. I was like, it's right here. And we're not taking that into consideration. Instead of we're trying to do more, and that just doesn't work.
I love that. I love that. Okay, so in a minute, we're going to do the final questions, but and wrap it up. Even though I could talk to you all day, but I want to give you a chance to talk specifically because we've been talking about the retreats, but I want to give you a chance to tell people what you really do and how you want them to connect with you afterwards. You have a very generous offer of a 50% off discount at one of the retreats, and people can connect with you on social media or by email. So tell everybody what you do and how to reach you.
Absolutely. So so I now also run these retreats. They are all over the world. The ones that we have coming up, one of them is in Greece in September. It's an amazing retreat with these two incredible people. There's four of us actually that are the facilitators, but two of them are longboard dancers. So they are experts in longboarding. Then there is a therapist who is doing psychodramas. And then there's me that I'm doing the somatic work. And it's in a private area in Greece. It's 160 acres. It's a huge spot that is completely private, all in nature. It's very much like it is a summer camp. It is my summer camp, actually, that I went to as a kid, that I'm very excited that they have given me permission to use it for that time. It's humongous. So for a very small amount of people, like we're going to be not more than 20 people. So it would be in September. So if people want to show up, it would be a combination. It's truly adult summer camp. So we do everything there. It's in nature. We're on the water, but it's also in the forest. There's no cars. There's no need to exit the place if you don't want to. We eat everything there. There's like meals prepared. Everything is done there. There's a full program. And also, if you just want to chill by the beach, that is private by yourself, you can. So that's fine. And yes, I do. I'm offering this for your listeners only, 50% discount if they want to get in touch with me. We've started getting people in, so we should have some spots. I'll keep some spots because for your people as well, specifically because I know it's not going to air until later. That's the one coming up right now. There's another one coming up that we're doing in February that is in California. Then there's another one that we're doing in Japan in October. There's a writing retreat that we're doing in October in New York.
They're all really all over.
They're all over. And there's one that I'm working on right now that will be in Bali. They will be all over. And the theme is always different. So it's if people are curious, they can always get in touch with me and I can give them more information specifically for each one. But in general, most of the retreats have a theme that is about something that we do together. There are also certain trips that are just for fun, that are literally based on community, based on let's get together and go and explore this space. And so most of the times for those trips are places that I know very well. So I take them to places that I feel like people would enjoy and connects with each other and connects with ourselves. And they're all different. So people can get in touch with me on Instagram is probably the best way. It's the easiest I find. It's my Instagram is at Zena Wild. They can DM me. I'll DM them back. I always respond. I'd be very happy to hear from people.
That is such a generous offer, and I really appreciate it. So the information for how to connect with Zena will be in the show notes if you're listening on the audio platforms. It's on the description in YouTube if you're watching it there. And the easiest way to get the links, if you're listening, is to be a subscriber to the email list because then it just shows up in your email box and you can click on it. Thank you so much, Zena, for that generous offer. Are you ready to wrap this up with my final three questions?
I am ready.
All right. So share with us a food that you do not like. Something that even if you are a guest at somebody's house, you are going to decline or just push it around on your plate and try and avoid it.
Maybe tongue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe that.
There you go. There you go. Some people say it's, you know, it's like one things that some people like, other people do not. And that's a wonderful example of that, right? Some people love it and other people are like, no way, never going to do it. And so that I love that answer. All right. So of all the places, this is going to be hard for you. I'm just warning you, but I think you're up for it. Of all the places that you have lived and traveled, if you had to pick one that was the most beautiful spot so far, what would you choose?
Oh my God, that is a really hard question. Both. I will say, and again, I really have like trouble picking just one. It's almost like picking your favorite flavor of ice cream. I will say maybe Paris is probably my favorite of
all
times.
There you go. No, that's, I mean, it's a really hard question. The other one, it's like, you know, what's your favorite movie? It's like you need categories and subcategories.
Yeah.
You know, day of the week and seasons. Sure. But no, thank you for playing along with that. I appreciate that. So, okay. So now can you share with us something entertainment-wise, a book, a TV show, or a movie that you've enjoyed lately that you think the audience would like to check out?
Well, for books, one book that I keep coming back to, and lately I've been reading it again, is Women Who Run with the Wolves. It's a great book.
Okay.
I read it every couple months, but I'm also weirdly going back to the classics a lot these days, and I'm really into Henry Miller and Bukowski, like they're my favorites. So I go back, like I'm rereading Tropic of Cancer.
And, okay.
And again, going back into the Paris theme, I guess. So it's all, like those two are like things that I'm reading right now.
Those are wonderful suggestions. That's it. Thank you so much, Zena, for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you so much. It was so fun.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. Head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.